What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprised with new topics every single week and jamming you with your daily dose of UFC. And let me just say, I had my fix of MMA this weekend. It was utterly amazing. I was able to go in person to Ignite Fights 109 and watch my boy Jimmy fight. We've had him on twice before this podcast, and he got an amazing round one knockout. So I'm going to talk briefly about my experience there at those fights. Also, you already know I watch UFC 319. Now, we did go 6-6 on picks. I was shocked by some of the results. I couldn't believe the upsets we saw. So we're going to go through and recap the card and talk about what's next for each and every one of the fighters. And now that I'm actually prepared, we're going to be dropping our predictions for episode 2 of season 9 for Dana White's Contender Series. And by the way, Bosanger Sursokayev, who fought, we're going to talk about him when we're talking about 319, but who fought on the episode of Dana's Contender Series on Tuesday, picked up a win yesterday on UFC 319. So two wins in 4 days, two finishes. That guy could be a future world champion. Also have some new UFC fights and some other random things on today's episode. But yeah, guys, it was a good weekend overall. Sunday is kind of the day you prepare for the future to come. I'm working at my buddy's pickle stand at the Minnesota State Fair, the best state fair maybe in the world. It might be. And I'm certainly going to be on my grind to make some money as I have no job. But your boy may be going to Atlanta. Who knows? We'll have to see. But let's dive right on into things with, first off, my experience at Ignite Fights. It was so awesome. The one thing that was really fun this time is we had a huge group of guys there to support Jimmy and his gym, Mark 44 Academy. And let me just say, though, the energy in person at you at MMA events is just crazy. Utterly crazy, and there's 31 fights. They have like half are Muay Thai, then half are MMA, and they're all just equally amazing. I will say Jimmy got probably one of the best finishes of the night, easily the best Muay Thai finish. But for MMA, they were having some amateur title fights, and some guys were getting slumped out there. It was utterly crazy. And I know in the main event, Landry Ward, who's been calling to get on the UFC Noche card, knocked out Nate Jennerman, former fighter on the Ultimate Fighter, in 43 seconds. I wasn't there to watch that because I bolted back home because I had to go let out the dogs. Then I went over to my buddy's place, and we all watched UFC 319, which, now that I think about it, I didn't miss much for the first two UFC 319 fights, but it is what it is. But yeah, Ignite Fights, it was so much fun. I also was at the casino, you know, Canterbury Park. It's in Shakopee, Minnesota, and I won $200 on a pull tab. So it was an amazing time for Zachary, and I just love the energy at fights and just being able to go up to anyone and just talk to anyone. I met so many new kids. It was such an amazing experience. I highly encourage it. Ignite Fights puts on some of the best fights, and it's always cool when you see guys who maybe one day could be in the UFC. I know Bekmirza Dasmatov, who I have, you know, I watched last time I was at these fights. He is definitely someone I could see being on the Contender Series, making a UFC debut. And especially for Landry Ward, he feels like his upcoming kid. I think his nickname is like the Lone Star Kid or something like that. Let's get him on a card, Dana. Let's do it. But yeah, that's just my little brief thing about Ignite Fights. There isn't like too much to go in depth since I don't really know any of the fighters that well. But if I were to ever have any on, which I should have been doing, I was focused more on having fun than actually trying to network. We could actually have some fun there. But yeah, Ignite Fights was a good time. And you know what else is a good time? When Dana White announces fights. Goodness me, that is always a fun time. And we do have a couple new fights to bring to your guys' attention. First up, UFC Vegas 110, November 1st. That's right, we're going back to the freaking Apex. Oh my goodness, November 1st. So you know I'm checked out November 1st. I will not be watching this. No, I'm just kidding. But women's bantamweight action. Ketlin Vieira, the number 3 ranked, takes on the number 4 ranked Norma Dumont. Perfect fight. Perfect fighter, Norma Dumont, on a nice little win streak. She's 8-2 in the UFC, 12-2 professionally. And as for Ketlin Vieira, she's 9-4 in the UFC, 15-4 professionally. Ketlin Vieira is coming off a loss. I can't even remember to who. I don't even think she should have lost the contest. Actually, let me go look at the rankings real quick, because I always forget, you know, the women's bantamweight rankings and who she's fighting. Actually, did she beat someone? Was she supposed to fight Aileen Perez or someone? I don't know. But Ketlin Vieira is back. She's taking on Norma Dumont. And I'm probably going to ride with Norma Dumont because I like when young, hungry up-and-comers get opportunities. But the women's bantamweight division is in a weird spot with the ever-looming threat of Amanda Nunes coming to return to take on Kayla Harrison, which does kind of put any other title chances out of limbo. Now, that doesn't really bother me because I'm not going to be clamoring for a Norma Dumont title fight. Aileen Perez, I reeled on, and I'm not going to be clamoring in for any of that, but I do kind of, it does kind of just like kill the vibe. We're just like, well, now we know that they're going to still have to wait to fight the winner of Nunes and Kayla Harrison. But that fight's going to be so massive. I hope they can do it at the end of this year. It's low-key giving start of 2026 vibes. So we'll have to see, but that is a new fight that has been announced. Another one for you, UFC Perth going down September 27th, of course. Ullberg and Reyes in the main event. Featherweight action here as the Brazilian Daniel Santos takes on Zombie Jr., the undefeated Jusang Yu, who flatlined Jeka Sergey, one of the best KOs of 2025 so far. Jusang Yu is back in action. Dude's a killer. All right, and I love these guys that come out of South Korea. Majority of the time, they're absolute savages, and Jusang Yu is no exception. He is unreal, and he face-planted KO'd Jeka Sergey in like 27 seconds. Might even been 19 seconds. It was crazy fast. It was crazy impressive, and it was a blast. It was a blast watching that. So the fact he's back in front of a crowd again, I'm happy to see this, and Jusang Yu should make easy work of Daniel Santos. But Daniel, he is 3-1 in the UFC, and he has beaten Young Lee, the Korean Tiger. So I don't know. He's turned off one South Korean. Maybe he'll turn off another. Here's a matchup for you, which was supposed to happen at UFC 319. Rodrigo Senziando versus Daniel Donchenko for the Tough 33 welterweight championship. And for some reason, it has been moved to UFC Noche in September 13th. So Rodrigo 8-1 and Daniel's 11-2 from Ukraine and Brazil respectively. So yeah, I don't really know much about them. Rodrigo, I think, had some good finishes. I think Donche had some good finishes. But yeah, this fight was moved from UFC 319 last minute. We also lost Diego Ferreira versus Bobby Green, or King Green. Then we also lost Brian Battle versus Nursultan Ruzulbayev. It was an utter best losing fights for UFC 319. So, you know, here's another one that just happened to get rescheduled. Patchy Mix getting another opponent, this one at UFC 320, the former top 10 challenger, you know, because I guess Mario Bautista's top 10 bantamweight, so Patchy Mix, top 10 challenger, but former absolute menace out of Bellator, who had his winning streak snapped. You know, he's 20-2 still, but lost his debut, is back to take on the debuting Jacob Masa Wilfoss. Jacob Wilfoss is from Poland and holds the KSW championship. I don't know if he's a double champ or something, but he's coming out of KSW. He's 16-3-2, and dude's a savage. Dude is a real savage, 29 years old. In September, he'll be 29. And yeah, this is just a real, you know, wake-up call for Patchy Mix. Hey, you get to take on Mario Bautista, who right now is ranked at number 8 in the world, and now you're taking on a debuting fighter, which means they do not think highly of Patchy Mix whatsoever. We're actually going to get to another fighter just here in a second, who they clearly think the same of as well. But Jacob, I'll probably get pick him in this, because Patchy Mix, if he fights the way he fought against Mario Bautista, then he's not going to do anything. He's not going to make any waves in the UFC, and especially for Patchy. I mean, he's no spring chicken. He's 32, I want to say, 33. He's not really getting any younger, and, you know, now's maybe the time for Jacob Wilfoss to make a little run. So that one's going out at UFC 320, I presume, on the prelims October 4th. Quang Li steps in on short notice to take on David Martinez in a bantamweight matchup for UFC Noche. Carlos Vera is unfortunately out, which honestly, this is a tougher opponent for David Martinez. Quang Li coming off a big knockout win over, was it Gaston Bolanos? Maybe he submitted Gaston Bolanos, I think. But he's good, 9-2 from Vietnam. Actually trains out of Minnesota, so you know we got to root for him. And as for David, 1-0 in the UFC, 12-1 professionally. Absolutely starched Salmon Oliveira, and he had a performance of the night knockout when he did it. So David looking to continue getting big wins here. I do think he will beat Quang Li, but it certainly won't be a walk in the park. UFC Perth has a new matchup, lightweight division. Jamie Mullarkey, the Australian, is back as he takes on the 14-4. 0-3 in the UFC, Rolando Bedoya. Still confused how some of these guys remain in the UFC, and Rolando Bedoya is one of those examples. Dude has just done nothing of impressiveness in the UFC, and worst part is that he was a welterweight champion in another promotion, Fusion FC, and it hasn't translated. Coming over here now for Jamie, 11 fight UFC veteran, holds wins over Francisco Prado and Michael Johnson. You know, Jamie can be a dog at times. He'll really just need to wake up here if he wants to beat Rolando Bedoya, and he should beat Rolando Bedoya, but it's MMA, you never know. Final new fight to bring to your guys' attention. This one going down in Paris. I do got to give it to Patricio Pitbull Ferreira. The activity has been ridiculous from this guy. Third fight in a, what is April to September, in a five-month span. Dude's staying active. I got to give it to him. But Patricio Pitbull, the number 11th ranked featherweight, is not moving up the rankings. He's taking on the debuting Losen Black Panther Keita. That's right. Losen is the double champion in Octagon for lightweight and featherweight. And he is 16-1 fighting out of Belgium. This guy's an absolute killer. And the fact that Patricio Pitbull, who beat Dan Ige, is not fighting upwards against someone like Josh Emmett, against Aljamain Sterling, against Brian Ortega, says a lot about what they think of him, you know. Especially, we're going to talk about Aaron Pico and Kai Sakura tonight. Fighters that are successful in other promotions, in ONE Championship, in Rizin, in Bellator, in PFL, are struggling to transition to the UFC. The UFC has proven that they are not just the best company to promote, they actually have the best fighters. So we'll see how this one goes here. Pitbull is 37-8, so he is almost at that 50 fight mark. I think once he gets to that, he'll retire. But Losen Keita, he just looks too appetizing not to pick. We have a couple weeks though. We have like 2 or 3 weeks to see who we will pick for that one. But a good fight nonetheless when it will be going down. So those are all your new UFC fights, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of good ones. A lot of good ones, I'll say. I'm excited to see each and every one of them. Now, let's get into our Dana White's Contender Series breakdown. You know, first episode, very rough. Very rough. Only two contracts. Only one finish. The three guys who didn't get contracts, especially two of them, Dana White was like, you're wasting your time, my time, everyone's time, coming here to not show up. And similar to last season's, when this happens, this lights a fire under everyone. So you can bet your butt you are going to see some finishes going down on this episode. So we're going to kick things off with a little featherweight matchup between Tommy Kuzo, or Kuozi, and Ramiro Jimenez. Both men, 145. Ramiro coming in with that southpaw stance, orthodox for Tommy Kuozi. I don't know if I have any, let me see if I got any betting odds here. I don't know if they don't really release betting odds until like right beforehand, but both these guys undefeated. Tommy's 8-0. Ramiro is 10-0. And as for, where's his face? Tommy Kuozi, you know, 25 years old, born in New York, now fights on North Carolina. Of his 8 wins, 8 finishes. Little T is his nickname. And of his 8 wins, 7 have came in round number 1, which is pretty impressive. His last fight was in March when he got a finish. And dude appears to be pretty good. Actually went to Rockingham Community College. Well, it's not too bad. I don't know too much about him. Other than that, you know, he used to fight in the Ultimate Battle promotion. He won a belt over there. And yeah, most of his fights end in round number 1 in the early seconds. So we'll see if that translates here. And one of the best things about this guy is he actually started out his amateur career 5-0, won an amateur belt. Then lost his last four amateur belts, all by decision, actually two were by sub. Then went pro and, you know, hasn't looked back, has been on a roll since. So that's Tommy Kuozi for you. Thought we had maybe seen him before, but I'm thinking of the name Timmy Kwamba. They have such similar names. So yeah, born August 31st, 1999. So if you share a birthday with him, you got to pick Tommy Kuozi. Now, as for Ramiro El Chanchilla Jimenez, he's coming in, you know, feeling a little confident. 26 years old from Mexico. Of his 10 wins, 8 finishes. He also has 5 KOs and 3 submissions. His last fight, December 16th, 2023. So it's been a while since you've seen Ramiro Jimenez, but he appears to look pretty good. It really does. All of his finishes have came in round number 1. He was fighting out of, I can't even tell what this promotion is, Combate. Oh, he was fighting out of Combate. Okay. They got some good fighters coming out of there. Actually had a canceled fight with Roberto Romero. We've seen him in the UFC, so interesting stuff. Look, I know he hasn't fought in a while, but I just watched Tim Elliott not fight since December 2023 and absolutely run through Kai Sakura. So just off of looks alone, just off of looking at them, I'm going to go with Ramiro Jimenez. And honestly, when I think about guys fighting, I'm thinking I'm going to see him, Ramiro Jimenez's name, especially if he could get on a future Mexico card as opposed to seeing Timmy Kuozi. So we're going to pick Ramiro Jimenez in our first matchup of the evening. We need more Mexican fighters, so he needs to get this one done in handsome fashion. Next up, we got heavyweight action. Heavyweights on David's Contender Series always are everyone's favorites because we need heavyweights in the UFC. We are in desperate need. We are in heavyweight influx right now. I always bring this up when I look at the UFC heavyweights division. The top five guys, including the champion, and even just top basketball alone, could beat the rest of the roster. It's insane. So maybe these guys will come in, make some ground, and absolutely take over as we have Josh Hokit taking on Guilherme Uriel, Brazilian man. Apologies if I have absolutely just destroyed pronouncing your name. I'm so sorry. I really am. But yeah, Josh Hokit coming into this one, 5-0, Guilherme 6-1. Josh Hokit, the Incredible Hawk. Oh, what a unique nickname that is. And Guilherme's is Urso. So we're going to call the Incredible Hulk versus Urso Hawk, not Hulk, Hawk, in case you were confused. Now, as for Josh, 27 years old from California. Trains out of Jackson Wink MMA, of course, Steve Garcia Jr., John Jones. You got a lot of good fighters coming out of that gym. 5 wins, 5 finishes, 2 KOs, and 3 submissions. His last fight was May 9th, and this dude actually played for the 49ers back in 2020. This is a former NFL player, played in college as well. Good for Josh. Honestly, dude seems like an absolute clown. I was looking at his social media. He is a great personality. He's fought in Bellator. He's fought in LFA. And yeah, all of his finishes except one coming in round number one. That one finish that he didn't have came in round number three. So it proves that he has some cardio. So Josh, he's coming in. There's a lot of, got a little following with him. So we'll see if that translates to any success when he takes on Guilherme Uriel Urso, 28 years old from Brazil, currently on a 2-fight winning streak of his 6 wins, 6 finishes, 3 KOs, 3 subs, and his 1 loss was by TKO. All of his finishes are in round number one, and his last fight was February 7th. Don't really know much about this man. I mean, all of his fights end fairly quick. I mean, the longest fight of his career was 3 minutes and 26 seconds. So Guilherme likes to get things going right off the bat. But I'm going to cross my fingers. I hope that, you know, Josh Hokit just gives old school UFC vibes. And I'm going off of personality. I'm going off of the fact he played for the 49ers. We're picking Josh to get this one done. Like I said, guys, there's really no logic when it comes to the Contender Series. You cannot have logic. You can have logic in Fight Nights, on The Ultimate Fighter, on other stakes, but for David's Contender Series, you quite literally never know what's going to happen, and this is just a perfect example of that, especially with the heavyweights we get on Dana White's Contender Series. Now going up from heavyweight all the way down to bantamweight, as we have Kashuk, the Pride of Chennai, Sakumar, taking on Lewis Lightning Lee Scott. Ooh, these are some good nicknames here. I really like these nicknames. Kashuk, 5-0. Lewis Lee Scott, 9-0. Lewis Lee Scott sounds like a writer. Sounds like he wrote some very historical books and such, or maybe he was a good composer back in the day, but no, this is not that Lewis Lee Scott. This is a young, hungry Lewis Lee Scott. This one is 25 years old from England. He actually trains at Manchester Top Team with the man who just got a massive knockout, Lerone Murphy. So he's coming from a very good gym. He looks like an English fighter. He just has that smug grin to him. I can just see it in his face. Out of his 9 wins, 7 finishes, 5 KOs, and 2 subs. His last fight was February 14th, where he was able to pick up a little round one armbar. And this is actually, he's actually had one fight in the PFL, funny enough. They brought him on in 2023. He got a 21-second head kick, and they're like, eh, that's enough. Yeah, we don't need to see that anymore. So Lewis Lee Scott back in action, getting a big shot here. Undefeated. No, also went 2-0 in amateur, so he has never lost ever in his fighting career. But we'll see how he does, I guess, against Kashuk Sakumar, the Pride of Chennai. Just such a fun nickname, Kashuk. I absolutely love that. 27 years old, born in India, but now fights out of Virginia. Of his 5 wins, 4 finishes, 3 KOs, and 1 sub. In his last fight, October 18th, 2024. Where he got a round 3 TKO. Oh, good for him. Good for you, Kashuk. Sakumar, I just know they love bringing over the Indian fighters, especially since he's got that heritage. But Lewis Lee Scott, you know, it was Jimmy Drago last week, you know, a name like that, you're not going to lose, and he lost, but with a name like Lewis Lee Scott, I'm not picking against him. Plus, he trains with Leon Murphy, and Leon Murphy just got a massive win, which I predicted, so I'm really happy about that. Lewis Lee Scott, we'll go with him to win. I want all these fights to end by finish. I would hope they would all end by finish, but I could see this one being an absolute war. I really could. We'll have to see. But, yeah, Lewis Lee Scott, I'm picking him. Do I get anything for getting these right? No. In fact, I get literally nothing, but it's fun to predict these fights. So we're going with Lewis Lee Scott. Then the second to last matchup of the evening, we got Brandon Holmes. Brandon Holmes taking on Cam Rouston. Ooh, in the middleweight division. Battle Giraffe is Cam Rouston's nickname, and Cam Rouston is 6'2" with a 78-inch reach, and this is his second attempt at Dana White's Contender Series. He was on last year, August 20th, where he took on Torres Finney-Smith, and he was grappled to death for 10 of 14 takedowns, 11 minutes and 41 seconds. Yeah, grappled to death is very accurate. So Cam, you know, he's got this Australian background. He's 30 years old. He's, since losing that, gone on a 3-fight winning streak. Trains out of City Kickboxing, you know, Adesanya, Dan Hooker, the likes of all them. The gang, if you will, Kai Kara France. And of his 11 wins, 10 finishes, 3 KOs and 7 subs. And he's only ever been finished once by TK. Oh, last fight was in February. And yeah, Torres Finney, I mean, talk about a guy who was amounted to not much. You know, not much at all. I mean, this guy fought 3 times on the Contender Series just to get in, winning every fight, but they were so boring that no one wanted to even bring him in. So Cam coming in with a little momentum, you know, surprisingly coming in with some momentum as he takes on Brandon Holmes. Brandon Holmes, 28 years old from South Carolina. Of his 5 wins, 3 are coming by KO. His last win was May 25th. Brandon, also 6'2". You know, he's 9-0. He lost for amateur career as well. So 4-0 amateur. He's been pretty good. You know, he's fought in CFFC. He has fought in other random promotions. Yeah, I don't really know. Zach Borrego, he finished in round 3. I recognize Zach Borrego's name. Oh my gosh, he beat Anthony Johnson. Wow. No, I'm just kidding. That is not Anthony Johnson worth thinking of. But yeah, you know, Brandon, he's got some muscle to him. He's got this fun little look. And as for Cam, you know, I just don't know if Cam's going to get grappled to death here. We'll have to see. And, you know, I'm sure they're going to want Cam Rouston to win, but I rarely see these guys come back and find success. Sometimes they do. You know, who am I to say that you can come on once, lose, and come back? Look at Joe Pyfer, for example. Went on, broke his arm, comes back. It's the best finish of, what, 2 seasons ago. So I'm a little torn on this one. 50-50, Cam Rouston trains out of City Kickboxing. But Brandon Holmes is Brandon Holmes, so we'll have to see. I don't know. Brandon Holmes is either going to grapple him to death or Cam Rouston's going to get a fun submission. I'm going to go Brandon Holmes. I don't know. Someone's just telling me Cam is not going to get it done, so we're going to go with Brandon Holmes. I'm getting that vibe from him. You know, this is just to inform you guys about what's going on. I'm not claiming I'm an expert in predictions for Dana White's Contender Series. Now, for UFC regularly, I am an expert. You know, you have to trust me. But for this, you never know what you're going to get, especially when it comes to our final matchup, the men's featherweight division, as we have Manuel Exposito taking on Jose Delano. Ooh, a little South American battle here, Argentina versus Brazil. Manuel Exposito, 13-2, Jose 15-3. Wow. Manuel, born May 9th, 2000, that makes him the youngest fighter on today's card at 25 years of age. Actually, he's tied with Lewis Lee Scott, but he's technically younger. From Argentina, he's on a 3-fight winning streak. Of Manuel's 13 wins, he has 3 KOs and 7 subs. Of his 2 defeats, he's only ever been finished once. His last fight was November 8th, 2024. Manuel Exposito, trying to become this wave of Argentine fighters to actually find success. Prado couldn't. Esteban Rivovic has tried. Santiago Ponzinibbio has been the closest. Maybe this is the birth of another one. Emmanuel Exposito. And, you know, from the stuff I've seen from him, he punches pretty hard. The minute clips that I've seen. You know, 3-fight winning streak. Two of them by unanimous decision. Shows that he can go the distance. He's won some titles here, there. Yeah, you never know. I would root for him simply because he's from Argentina. Because we have a lot of Brazilian fighters. No offense, Jose Delano, the most experienced fighter coming in here. I mean, 15-3 Funny, on the Contender Series, it's just not a record you usually see. The 28-year-old, of course, from Brazil, is on a 3-fight winning streak as well. 4 KOs and 5 subs give him 9 of his 15 wins by finish, and of his 3 defeats, he's been finished in 2 of them, once by knockout, once by sub. His last fight was February 7th. And actually, you know, fun fact, the last time this guy lost in 2023 was to Gabriel Santos, and Gabriel Santos is actually a known UFC fighter who gave David Onama a good fight. He has beaten Jack Jenkins recently. So, you know, this guy's clearly fought in some high-level competition. Big LFA guy. Big LFA guy. And, I mean, he actually won the LFA title. I think it might have been Gabriel who actually took it from him. So, interesting. This one's pretty close. This one, I don't know what to expect. Jose Delano, I low-key feel like, has the experience to win. But Miguel Esposito, we need UFC fighters out of Argentina. So, Manuel, I'm going to give you the nod simply because of that. Over under 3.5 finishes on this card, I'm taking the over. I'm saying of the 5 fights, 4 finishes take place. I'm seeing, you know, I'm seeing Luis Lee Scott and Kashukar Sukumarev. I'm seeing that end in a finish. Josh Hokic, Gilharme Iril. I'm seeing that end in a finish. Ramiro Jimenez and Tommy Kuozi, I can see. Emmanuel Esposito and Jose Delano. I think the only one where I think it might go the distance is Brandon Holmes and Cam Roast. And other than that, I think we're getting finishes. I think it's getting action-packed. I think we're in for a very, very good night of fights on Dana White's Contender Series. So that goes down Tuesday, August 19th. I will actually be able to watch every Dana White's Contender Series, technically, for the foreseeable future, even though it's on such a weird time. I think it starts at 6 now as opposed to 7, which, you know, I guess it's over earlier, so works for all of us. But those are your Dana White's Contender Series episode 2 of season 9 predictions. You know, stick around next week, and actually later on this week we're going to recap, and then next week we'll just keep this going. This is a 10-week affair. And actually, and for everyone wondering, I will be talking about fantasy football and the NFL season coming up. I actually did my 16-man draft, but for today, we're all about UFC. And you know what? I can't wait any longer. I think it's time we talk about UFC 319, because boy, oh boy, was it fun, was it special, was it spicy, and it delivered in some ways, didn't deliver in others. Let's talk all about it. Now, like most cards, like most UFC cards, this builds, all right? And I will say, like most, you know, it started tad slow. It didn't necessarily pick off running right off the bat, but, I mean, we did have a finish to kick off the card, which you can rarely say. At times, as we got things going, the men's flyweight championship, Ultimate Fighter Championship, took place. Joseph Morales beating Alibi Idris in round number 2 with a triangle choke. Yeah, I predicted this wrong, and I didn't know lickety-split about either of these guys, but this is the 7th career submission for Joseph Morales, especially getting it this easy in this fashion. Men's flyweight division, yeah, we'll take it, and we need men's flyweights. Let me tell you that, Joseph Morales, good for him. This is his second stint in the UFC. He, of course, went 1-2 all the way back in 2017 to 2018. And now, look at him now. Picking up a win, getting himself a little submission action. Good stuff. 3 minutes into round number 2. And round number 1, you know, he dominated. 2 takedowns, striking on the feet, went to Alibe. And as for Alibe, I think they'll bring him back. You know, I don't think they're going to kick him out of the UFC, but they'll probably give him a tough opponent. Maybe your Andre Lima, maybe your Loner Kavanaugh, you know. No one that's going to be an absolute layup, but still, good stuff. Did what he had to do, got the win. Joseph Morales, welcome to the UFC. Now, who will he take on in his debut? It's tough to say. Will they give him a Charles Johnson? Will they give him a Suma Darji, a Kevin Borjas? I mean, it's tough to say. It really is. The Suma Darji and Kevin Borjas do have a fight coming up. Just a recent one that I'm thinking about going down at UFC Shanghai this upcoming Saturday. So that could be a matchup that you have take place. You also have Loner Kavanaugh and Charles Johnson, loser of that. But for either of these guys, big things are going to be in their future. Now, as for Alibe, first career loss. And as for Joseph, 14-2, getting the win. Beautiful. Beautiful stuff. So Joseph Morales, begin your ascent, the first ever men's. I think it's the first ever men's Ultimate Fighter. I can't really recall if we had another one. Or actually, we have way back in the day. Tim Elliott, actually. How about Tim Elliott versus Joseph Morales? No, I'm just kidding. Joseph Morales, good stuff for you. Getting the card going with a submission. We love it. After that, women's flyweight division. And there's a little controversy here as Karine Silva wins 29-28 to Dione the Witch Barbosa. I hate that nickname. Stupid nickname. Kareem Silva getting it done. Now, Dione did outstrike her 31-26 significantly. Total strikes went to Kareem Silva, 90-67. One of three on takedowns for Kareem Silva with two submission attempts and a reversal for 2 minutes and 23 seconds control time. For Dione Barbosa, 3 of 4 on takedowns, one submission attempt, one reversal, 5 minutes, 18 seconds of control time. So round one, I think everyone had that going to Dione. Round two, I think people had that going to Kareem Silva. And then round three was the swing round. And it came down to, did you give the 2 minutes of control time Dione had on the ground, or did you give Kareem Silva the striking she had on the feet? And I think they leant towards Kareem Silva, and she picks up the victory. Very lackluster fight for both of these women. For Dione, I don't really know the ceiling for her, especially after this in the women's flyweight division. But to be fair, she is only 2-2, so there's time to bounce back. But this one just didn't really leave much to be desired for either woman, especially for Kareem Silva, someone who came into the UFC. She had what, well, actually is Kareem Silva's finishing record. Since she has 17 finishes of her 19 wins, but you know, that finishing streak has since come to an end with losing to Vivian Rujo and after winning her last two fights by decision. So Kareem Silva gets it done. I don't know if I want to have her fight up. If I'm being honest, she's coming off a loss to Vivian Rujo. So maybe, you know, they just run back the J.J. Aldridge fight. Because if she's going to fight, like, fighting up from here, it's Rose Namajunas, Macy Barber, Jasmine Justavich. It's just an entirely different skill level for Kareem Silva. So Wang Kong's got a fight coming up. If she wins that, let's run up that fight. J.J. Aldridge, we could rebook that fight. That was the original fight that was supposed to take place. And as for Dione Barbosa, there is always going to be women for you to fight. I don't know if Ariane De Silva is still in the UFC. They might have cut her, but that could be an opponent that she could take on. You know, they could always give her Casey O'Neill if Casey O'Neill needs a little short notice fight or something. Luiana Santos. You know, there's a lot of options to do for Dione Barbosa. But yeah, kind of a dull matchup here, and it's just how it goes. After that, lightweight division, as Dracar Close beats Edson Barbosa 29-28 across the board. Edson outstrikes him 71-53 significantly. Total strikes go to Dracar Close 147-73. A lot of control time in the clinch on the cage, and they just give this one to Dracar Close. That's just how it goes, you know, round one and two to Dracar. Edson's round three rally isn't enough, unfortunately. So good stuff for Dracar Close. I was a little surprised, but this is lightweight, and it would appear that Edson has more success when he's fighting at featherweight, but it is, he's also 39. To be fair, he is 39, so it is sad seeing Edson Barbosa get this old. You know, it is kind of suck. If he's going to stay at lightweight, you know, there's a guy who also we're going to mention in a second, Alexander Hernandez. I think that would be a fun fight, but if he does go back down to featherweight, you know, how about Aaron Pico? You know, I don't know. There's so many fun things you could do with Edson Barbosa. Edson Barbosa versus Calvin Kattar, you know, for just matchups to throw out there. But for here, just it went to Dracar Close. He did a good job, you know, picking up the win. And to be fair, this man is now 5-1 in his last six since 2022. And as of late, 2-1, only losses to Joel Alvarez, who is the unofficial number. Oh, he is the ranked number 15. They're always bumping Joel Alvarez out of the rankings for some reason. But good stuff for Dracar Close. It's tough to say who he should fight next. You know, if it's up to me, I think they're going to try and rebook Diego Ferreira versus King Green. Winner of that versus Dracar Close, it just feels perfect to me. Dracar is 37. Both of those guys are in their late 30s. Amazing stuff right there. So another run-of-the-mill decision. It happens. After that, oh man, this is where I got a little bit upset. Yeah, this one was annoying. Chase Hooper, Alexander Hernandez, and Chase Hooper gets freaking knocked out. Are you kidding me, Chase? You just got knocked out by Alexander Hernandez. Alexander gets his 7th career knockout. This is the second time in Chase Hooper's career he's ever been knocked out. Are you freaking serious? What? Chase goes 0-2 on takedowns, does outstrike him 20-17 significantly, but Hernandez catches him in the final 7 seconds. People were saying premature stoppage, but he was curled up. He was eating shots. I do think he was going to survive, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, there's nothing to do now. There's nothing to do with early stoppages. It just happens. So Chase Hooper's the dream, his 5-fight winning streak comes to an end. Oh, it hurts. It really hurts. I can't even lie. It is rough. it is rough to see that one come to an end. Now, you could just have him fight Edson Barbosa or Trick Arclos, to be fair. You could just have that run back. But for Alexander Hernandez, I mean, 3-fight winning streak, just ended Chase Hooper's run. What do we do with this guy? Tough to say. Really tough to say. I mean, where can we put him? Now, I know they're trying to break Mauricio Ruffy into the rankings, but if Mauricio Ruffy fails against Benoit Saint-Denis, actually the loser of Benoit Saint-Denis and Mauricio Ruffy, let's have them fight Alexander Hernandez. That fight writes itself. Good stuff. Let's just book that fight. But yeah, this fight really upset me as a Chase Hooper fan, and it made me just kind of realize that, dang, MMA is unforgiving. After that, ranked women's strawweight action as Jessica Andrade took on Lupi Godinez, and son of a gun, Lupi Godinez gets it done, 29-28 across the board, wins rounds 1 and 2, and then Andrade's round 3 rally is to no avail. 107 significant strikes for Lupi, 90 for Andrade, 1 of 14 on takedowns for Lupi. That was her just shooting takedowns, throwing punches, just relentless grit and attitude, and yeah, she gets it done. Unbelievable. She's now going to be ranked number 5 in the women's strawweight division. I am so perplexed. I really am. It wasn't but a year ago she lost to Mackenzie Dern and Virna Jandidova, and now she has a win over Julia Pulastri and Jessica Andrade. MMA math makes no sense. I think this is more so a telltale sign that Jessica Andrade is done. She is done. 33 years old, and she has hit her prime. 3-fight losing streak again. I don't even know. I don't even know what to do with her. She's fighting down. She's fighting down for sure. I do think this is her strong weight class, so I'm bumping her down to number 7 in the rankings. And who could she fight? I mean, how about Denise Gomez? How about Loma Luke Boonmi? How about frickin', oh my gosh, there's a Jacqueline Amorim. You know, names like that. That is who you should have Jessica Andrade fight, because clearly her challenger days are behind her. You know, it's unfortunate. It really is, but that's MMA for you. That's how it goes. So Andrade fighting down. As for Lupi, I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, what a career revival. She's now going to be ranked number 6, 5, or maybe even 7. We'll have to see, but she's fighting up. And who's she going to fight? Well, you got Tatiana Suarez booked against Amanda Lemos. Virna Jandidova is getting the next title shot. And that leaves Jan Chonin at number 3, open and available. So I say we book that fight because she recently fought Mackenzie Dern. I don't need to see that fight ran back. And Jan Chonin needs an opponent. So let's do it. Let's make it. Good job to Lupi Godinez. I shouldn't have doubted the Lupi Godinez. Then the final two prelims got me back all happy. You know, I'd been doing terrible on picks. I'd been watching Andrade lose and Hooper and Edson, and oh, it was so sad. But then Michael Olakujasek. I told y'all he is having a career revitalization with the Fighting Nerds, and he gets his second round one knockout and just a beautiful setup against GM3 here. I mean, sets him up, hits him with the hook straight down. GM3 goes, couple follow-up punches, and Herb Dean was like, get off of him, game over. 23 significant strikes of 3. I mean, Michael was in his bag, defended all 3 takedown attempts from Gerald. He was doing fantastic. Fantastic. Excellent work for Michael, and that'll be his 16th career knockout, 17th career finish, 2 straight wins in the men's middleweight division. Good stuff. Very good stuff for Michael, especially in a middleweight division where you need to do big things to break through, and that's exactly what he was doing here. Exactly what you need to do. Good freaking work. Now, it begs the question, what is next? What do you do next with Michael Olakujasek? Well, the middleweight division has unlimited options, truly unlimited options, and it just depends where you want to put this guy. Really does, and he's coming off of 2 big knockouts. I bet they want to set him up for another knockout, so they're going to want to get him on a card. So then we just have to pick our run-of-the-mill middleweight for him to fight. Upcoming at UFC Shanghai, we don't really have any middleweight matchups going down. Did we have anyone last week that we could maybe matchmake him with? I'm not really seeing anyone. You know, Michael, it's tough. It really is tough with him because I don't know how much they see in him. They could see a lot. They could see a little. It's always tricky. But Andre Pulev picked up a win. Maybe they'll have Michael versus Andre. But GM3 is a notable name to give. That kind of, he's always been a guy where when they give him that name, they usually give them a better name followed by that. So we'll see what they do. He could always fight Brad Tavares. Brad Tavares could be a good option. Maybe the winner of Edmund Shabazian and Who's Edmund fighting? Oh my gosh. Who is Edmund Shahbazyan fighting? He's fighting someone coming up that's not coming to mind. Andre Munez, Edmund Shahbazyan, the winner of that versus Michael Kojacek. That's the fight I am predicting that will happen next for Michael. But great work here. Should have gotten a performance bonus, but little did we know we were going to see much better finishes later on. As for GM3, three-fight losing streak. I mean, dude's a legend, though. Dude is a legend. He's 37. He's had 47 professional bouts. He's just going to be fed to someone. And honestly, let's just make this easy. How about we have him fight Bosanjer Susukarev? Because he's right in front of me and I can see him here. Bosanjer Susukarev in the final prelim of the evening. What a legend. What a legend. 2 minutes in round two, gets the rear naked chokehold. And this is just crazy. This is crazy. This guy, the BS Hunter, I call him. 10-0. August 12th, August 16th, both getting wins. Four-day turnaround. Oh, my gosh. No one's going to beat him. He's already become the best fighter of Season 9 of Day 1's Contender Series. You can keep the other of 90 fighters that are going to be showing up. You can keep them, okay? We're done with them because Bosanjer Susukarev is already a legend. He's boys with Hamzat Chimaev. He dominates Eric Nolan here. And by the way, end of the round, he showed some adversity. He ate some punches from Eric. He was trading at the end of round one. But round two comes around, catches Eric lacking, takes his back, submits him. Easy work for Bosanjer. Out of his 10 wins, all 10 coming by finish. That is right, Bosanjer Susukarev, you beautiful bugger. But props to Eric Nolan, man. Took this fight on short notice. He was a champion out of, I don't know if it was Cage Warriors, CFC, you know, some one of those other promotions. But props to him, man, taking this. They're going to reward him with another matchup, probably like a Cedric Dumas. If I'm being honest, they're Cody Brundage. They're going to give him someone light. Eric McConko. Actually, Eric McConko, Eric Nolan, battle of the Erics. Let's do a middleweight division. But for Bosanjer, I like the GM3 fight. People are even throwing out the name Jack Hermanson. They are definitely going to fast track this kid to greatness. I mean, when you're 10-0, you know, you're going to be catching some waves. But the fact that he's also only 24 years old and he's doing this turnaround, it's crazy. So GM3 would be a great stepping stone. He's the perfect example of if you could be GM3, you can usually beat a ranked opponent. That's usually how it goes. So Bosanjer ends the prelims with a bang. Kind of him and Michael Kojacek, a little dirty combo there. Good stuff to round out the prelims. Then we got the main card rolling, and I got a little upset again as Kai Sakura freaking lost. And I mean, to make matters worse, Tim Elliott, I do gotta give Tim props, hadn't fought since December 2023, goes out there, submits a guy, Kai Sakura, former double champion over in Rizin, but just the lack of striking ability from Tim Elliott here was insane. I mean, he had zero stand-up game, but Kai Sakura had zero takedown defense, 2 of 3 on takedowns, minute 54 seconds control time, and he lost both rounds because he got taken down. And I mean, the fact that he got hit with a guillotine choke, and he did hang on for a while, but Tim Elliott gets him out of there. And you know, this is really impressive for Tim, 38 years old, 8th career submission, getting back-to-back now submission wins, performance of the night, 4-1 in his last 5, only losses to Muhammad Mokaev. Yeah, good stuff, Tim freaking Elliott. And I mean, he's ranked number 11. You know, I already saw people say he should fight Steve Ursig at 10. I think that writes itself. You know, Tim should not fight down. He should not fight a Tagir Limbekov, a Ramazan Temeryov. No. Steve Ursig, Tim Elliott, that will truly prove between those two who is ready to advance into the top 10. So that fight just writes itself. Steve Ursig just fought too. It's just perfect. It's perfect right there. But good stuff to Tim. Great work. I mean, I was counting him out. I know a lot of people are counting him out, but he gets it done. Good work. As for Kai Sakura, 0-2 in the UFC, submitted with a submission in round two both times. I don't know what to do with you. I genuinely have no idea what to do with Kai Sakura. So he's ranked at number 15. They're going to boot him from the rankings. They really are. So what do we do with this guy? Well, Joseph Morales just won the Ultimate Fighter. He's an easy option you could do right there. You could have him fight up-and-comers such as the winner, if Lorna Kavanaugh beats Charles Johnson, have him fight Lorna Kavanaugh. You have Andre Lima. You have, there's actually another, Rafael Estevam. Yeah, names like that. I even saw someone throw out Ronaldo Rodriguez. You know, Ode Osborne. Kai Sakura is going to get one more opportunity in the UFC. He's going to have one more opportunity. Mind you, Kai is 31. He's in his fighting prime, and he has now suffered 6 defeats. Finished in 5 of them. It's been rough. It's rough. He had never been finished submission-wise before coming to the UFC, and here he is getting submitted in both of his defeats. So, yeah, Kai, very rough, very bad, but for Tim, gotta give it to you. Impressive. Following that, middleweight division, and I gotta eat my words, man. I gotta eat my words. MVP destroyed Cannoneer. I didn't see it coming. Props. Props to you, MVP. And the one thing I'll say I didn't realize is that MVP size-wise was way bigger than Cannoneer here. I mean, I don't know how I was unaware of this despite doing a breakdown, but MVP coming in 6'3", 79-inch reach. Cannoneer 5'11", 77-inch reach. The discrepancy was very, very evident. It was clearly evident. Now, I will say this is one of the rare fights, not rare fights, just one of the odd fights where MVP outstrikes Cannoneer through the first two rounds and then gets grappled in round three, and it just leaves a weird taste in your mouth because you're like, okay, I know MVP won, but he just lost the ending of the fight, which is weird. And, you know, I thought he had two knockdowns. Turns out both of them were either trips, falls, or pushes on Cannoneer, so Cannoneer actually wasn't dropped at all. But yeah, good stuff for MVP, getting his second straight win. He's now 3-1 in the UFC, 24-3, and he's gonna be ranked at number 9 in the rankings. As for Cannoneer, he'll probably get bumped down to number 10 or number 11, one of the two. We'll have to see. But yeah, round one, 11 significant strikes to 2. Cannoneer had 2 minutes and 10 seconds of control time on the clinch. Cannoneer gets outstruck 11 to 10 significantly in round two, does land a takedown for 2 minutes of control time. Then round three, Cannoneer goes out, lands a takedown, 4 minutes, 8 seconds of control time for a total of 8 minutes and 14 seconds. So half this fight was controlled by Cannoneer, over half of it, and MVP just had him beat on the feet. But yeah, I hate to say it, this was the most entertaining MVP fight he's had, which does say a lot about the career of MVP. So what do we do next with both of these guys? Well, MVP is going to be ranked at number 9. It's kind of tricky. You know, I think a lot of people would think Adesanya, would think Sean Strickland. Maybe, but I think we just know what type of fights we're going to get with MVP. Now, this was the most advancing forward MVP I've seen. I do think Cannoneer hung in the pocket, ate some big shots, but we're going to need to see more of an evolution from MVP if he wants to challenge for a belt. I personally kind of wish Cannoneer wasn't ranked so high. I would have liked to have seen MVP versus Paulo Costa, MVP versus maybe even Brandon Allen, but now that he's ranked above them, we have to think. So if it's up to me and Sean Strickland's available, if Adesanya is available, seeing whatever happens with the matchmaking we do, I think Sean or Izzy are perfect options for MVP. As for Cannoneer, he's going to be fighting down. Somehow him and Paulo Costa have never fought. That's a fight I'd love to see. Abu Magomedov is a fight you could make. Joe Pyfer, you could even do Ikram Alkhasarov. Cannoneer's going to be fighting an up-and-comer, that I know for certain. And yeah, this wasn't the most exciting fight, but it's okay, because we then had the greatest back-to-back combos I think I've ever seen. I mean, this was insane, insane. We kicked things off. Welterweight division, Carlos Prates, Jeff Neal, they're kind of just going at it. They're kind of just going at it through the entirety of round number one. Striking, Carlos is landing more, to no one's surprise. Jeff Neal fails a takedown, and they're just going at it. And then with a second left, Carlos Prates spins, clips the side of Jeff Neal's hand on the spinning back elbow. Down Jeff Neal goes. I mean, unconscious, just falls backward, lifeless. And Carlos Prates smokes some cigarettes, drinks some whiskey, and finds some hookers later in the night. That's right. Carlos Prates, the nightmare, the party animal. Holy cow. Insane from Carlos Prates. I knew he'd knock him out. You know, I knew it. I just knew he'd knock him out. But in this fashion, the best KO he's had in his UFC career. How is he stacking these knockouts? Every knockout's better than the other. Oh my gosh, he's a legend. He's as good as advertised. And this is his 17th career knockout, 20th career finish. Dude's a legend. And by the way, this dude is 5-1 in the UFC. Every single win, he's had a performance bonus. That's insane. That is insane. And if anything, what this fight made us realize is people made everyone realize just how good is Ian Garry, that Ian Garry was able to survive this guy. Because this really shows how good Ian Garry is, which we then look at Shavkat, just how good is Shavkat Rakhmonov. You know, that's how I like to look at the MMA math of things. But yeah, excellent work here from Carlos Prates. Massive knockout over Jeff Neal. First time Jeff Neal's been knocked out in 8 years. All right, he was knocked out before coming to the UFC, TKO'd. First time in the UFC he's ever been knocked out like this. Insane. So great work for Carlos Prates. He's a guy who people were like, yeah, this is his ceiling. He's not going to get any better. And here he is getting a knockout. He's going to be ranked number 11 minimum. I'd move him up to number 10. Where's he going to go from here? I mean, you got Leon Edwards up there. You got Joaquin Buckley, maybe. You got Kamaru Usman. I don't know. I think Leon Edwards is a super fun fight, but just depends how everyone gets matchmaked. I know they're trying to book Bilal and Usman, maybe. I don't really want to see that at all. I'd rather see Bilal and Shavkat. Brady and Gary are fighting. So that means, where would Usman? Would Usman fight Bilal? Would you have to do Usman Bilal? I don't know. What do you do with Michael Morales then? Yo, welterweight division is getting crowded. Let's just book a Leon Edwards fight, because I think he'll knock out Leon, and it would be very entertaining. For Jeff Neal, he's 1-3 in his last four. You know, not too impressive. And he's probably going to be fighting downwards. But I think Daniel Rodriguez, Gabriel Bonfim, those are some fun names Jeff Neal could fight. And if he wants to go unranked, you know, I'm sure there'll always be someone unranked for him to fight. I don't know. Let's have him fight Kevin Holland, because it's Kevin Holland, and who cares? So, yeah, excellent work from Carlos Prates. His knockout was utterly insane. I was going crazy, and it made me realize, yeah, this was the best knockout we were going to get all night. And then we got to the co-main event, and I had to realize that MMA is insane, and Leron Murphy hits. I think it might be my KO of the year. Sorry, Barista Ruffy. Sorry, Juseng Yu. I'm sorry, Itopura. But Leron Murphy's spinning back elbow KO of Aaron Pico was insane. Back-to-back spinning elbows. Give him the 50K. Give him his eighth career knockout. He's 17-0. Leron Murphy, crazy. Crazy. 3 minutes, 21 seconds. And by the way, Aaron Pico pushed the pace on Leron. He really was. And, you know, his strikes were landing well. He landed two takedowns for 2 minutes of control time. You know, Leron was in trouble. But Leron, he's technical. He is an excellent MMA fighter. And he was reading up like a book. And he realized what he was doing. And when he was able to catch him lacking, he hit him with a spin. Down he went. Head bounces off the canvas. He was unconscious right when it connected. The second it connected, out Aaron Pico's lights went, and even landed a little follow-up punch as Herb Dean was pulling him off. I mean, Leron Murphy, you bloody legend. You bloody legend. 9-0 in the UFC with one draw, but nonetheless, crazy. Utterly crazy. This dude is a legend. I love it. And Leron Murphy, he was ranked at number 6. Push him past Arnold Allen. Push him past Brian Ortega. Push him past Yair Rodriguez. Give him the title shot. Give him the title shot. I mean, come on. We don't want to see Yair versus Volk 2. Muzvar Evlov has done nowhere near as impressive of things as this. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He is like that. He is truly, truly like that. Great work from Leron Murphy here. Utterly insane. This was the most adversity he's faced. The 3 minutes and 21 seconds is some of the most adversity Leron has faced. And he was able to just push the pace, get around it, and dominate Aaron Pico. But Aaron Pico going to be 13-5 now. This is the fourth time he's been finished by knockout. How about that? How about that? But yeah, Aaron Pico, I don't know what to do with this guy. Do we give him another shot in the rankings? Who do we have him fight? Dan Ige, Giga Chikadze, David Onama, Yusuf Zalal? I don't even know what to do with Aaron Pico, to be honest. I mean, when you debut like that and get knocked out like that, like even Kaya Sakura, even Patchy Mix, even Patricia Pitbull, they weren't getting done like that. No, no, no. I mean, Leron Murphy's still in the show. Give him a title shot. Make him the number 3 ranked fighter in the world, on the planet. Let's do it. That was freaking amazing. After that, I mean, getting into the main event. Yeah, you've seen it everywhere if you've been listening to, if you follow MMA, which I assume you do if you listen to this. But Khamzat massacres Justus Duplessis. A performance bonus, very deserved. And I think the real MVP is DDP for not getting finished. This dude fought like you know what to not get finished, and it was impressive to see. You know, this dude gave it his all to not get finished. And, you know, despite losing, he went out. He went out. Now, I mean, he didn't get dominated. I've never seen a domination like this. I have never seen a domination like this. This was insane. By the way, judges smoking crack, 50-44. What? There were at least minimum three 10-8 rounds. Rounds 1 to 3 were all 10-8. Round 4 was a potential 10-8. And then round 5 was just a 10-9. But, I mean, these judges were being way too generous here. Way, way too generous. But Khamzat destroys DDP. Destroys him. And by the way, Justus Duplessis doesn't throw a single significant strike in round 1. Does it land a single significant strike in round two? Only lands one in round three, two in round four, and 10 in round five for a total of 13 for the fight. Now, Hamzat only landed 37 significant, but total strikes, 45 for DDP, 529 for Hamzat, shattering the UFC record, shattering by over 100 strikes. Holy cow. Holy freaking cow. This guy is insane. 12 of 17 on takedowns, 21 minutes and 40 seconds of control time. I mean, through the first three rounds, I mean, he shot a takedown after the first 10 seconds. It was after the first 10 seconds, he shot takedown and just dominated him every single round. This was a mauling from Hamzat Chimaev. And I was with my friends. They were all like, oh, this is boring. And I'm just like trying to fit him. I'm like, yeah, this is boring. But I'm really like, dude, this is so impressive what Hamzat is doing. The fact that he's just destroying this guy in DDP who's been on an absolute tear. And the fact that he never gave him a shot until the final 20 seconds of the fight where DDP throws up a good guillotine choke, I have to add. Did throw some punches when he had a chance. But yeah, you know, right off the rip when he shot and landed and dominated, it was crazy. 131 total strikes in round one, 79 in round two, 156 in round three, 76 in round four, and 87 in round five for Hamzat. The amount of times he put him in a crucifix and was just pounded on his face, impressive, really impressive. Now, the one thing that Mark Goddard kept doing, which I understand, is he kept standing it up because the crowd was booing and because like Hamzat wasn't actually landing anything significant to finish him. But he did stand up Hamzat in dominant position at least two or three times, which I do think is kind of alarming. I don't really think you should be doing that. But hey, it is what it is. Nothing that I'm super pissed about at all. And Hamzat Chimaev is now 15-0, 9-0 in the UFC. And yeah, he is your new UFC middleweight champion. Going from number three to number one. He's currently number 14 in the pound for pound and just demolished number four pound for pound guy. Yeah, he's going to be the number four pound for pound fighter on the planet. Minimum number five if they put Pantoa ahead of him. But Hamzat is just an entirely different animal. He's insane. He's a freak of nature, and he's your new men's middleweight champion. Good job to Hamzat Chimaev. So that begs the question, what's next? And I don't really want to talk about what's next, but okay, for us, it's obvious. The winner of Kyle Barallo and Nazan Imavov will fight Hamzat later in the year, baby, but certainly in the start of 2026, and I don't know who's beating him. I don't know who can beat Hamzat Chimaev. I mean, seeing what he did to this middleweight, the biggest middleweight we have, I mean, Nazardine and Kyle, I don't give a shot. Rearday Ritter, I don't give a shot. Hernandez, I don't give a shot. Sean Strickland, Asanya, I don't give a shot. If he goes down to welterweight, I don't give any of them a shot. If he goes up to light heavyweight, that's where we run into issues with maybe Magomedov Kalayev. But other than that, I think Hamzat Chimaev can become a 12-division champion in the UFC. That's right, we're bringing back the women's featherweight belt, and Hamzat's going to take it because this man's an absolute killer. But Hamzat Chimaev, you are just insane, and I love you. I love you, my man. Now, as for DDP, going to be ranked number one, what do we do with him? What do we do with DDP? And I'm going to be honest, I don't know, guys. I really don't know. I mean, what do you do with DDP? How do we have the battle of the three names? Rainer Day Ritter, DDP? That could be fun. Does Anthony Hernandez take Andriscus Duplessis? I don't know. How does this mentally affect DDP? Is he ever going to be the same? Will he get back to a point where he can rematch Hamzat? I don't know. I really don't. But Rainer Day Ritter and Anthony Hernandez are the only two men whose names come to mind. Other than that, I don't think there's anyone for DDP. But amazing stuff. UFC Chicago was a lot of fun. Those two spinning back elbows completely made my night. Huh. Such a good time, boys. Such a good time. UFC 319, was it the best? Nope, but it was nowhere near the worst. It was in the middle of the pack. And overall, it was a great time. Great time watching UFC 319. Gets two thumbs up from me. But like most things, we move along. We keep things going. And we're in Shanghai, China. Next time, I'll be speaking to you guys. Johnny Walker, Zhang Bingyang in the main event. Co-main event, Brian Ortega, Aljamain Sterling. What a fun fight we get. Also get Sergey Pavlovich, Waldo Cortez Acosta. You get legends like Talik Nuraji, Sumadarji, Mahasha, Rong Zhu, Yiz Hajialong. A lot of Chinese talent fighting on this card. Michelle Pereira is back. Loner Kavanaugh gets a massive opportunity against Charles Johnson to prove himself. UFC Shanghai is going to be a lot of fun. But with that, ladies and gentlemen, I will send you all on your way. Got a lot of picks of MMA on today's episode. When we're back, we will be recapping Dana White's Contender Series, all of our picks we made. We will be predicting UFC Shanghai, and I will bring up a little bit about fantasy football and all that I've accumulated before the season starts. So with that, have a good weekend, everyone, and I'll catch you next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.